Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look down at last week's, we finally got to verse 5 down there, talking about letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So we finished verse 5 and verse 6 last week, so we're going to be down in verse 7. Verse 7, the Bible says this, he said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And so when you look at that right there, he says he made himself of no reputation. And so when you talk about the humility of Christ and being humble, and we talk about humility, when we talk about humility, a lot of times we can be trying to be humble because we want people to think good of us, right? I mean, it can turn around on us. Even though we're trying to be humble, there's still a motivation there of people liking us because we're humble, right? And you want to portray that humility because you want people to think good of you. And when Jesus Christ showed up, the Bible says that he made himself of no reputation. No reputation. So let's just look at a few verses here. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, when Jesus Christ showed up at his birth. He didn't take pride there. He didn't have anything, no reputation there, the way he was born. He's born in a manger. He was born there, and no one knew about it. Matter of fact, he had to hide himself and that type of stuff. But here in verse 3, it says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They didn't even know who he was. I mean, he didn't have any pride with his birth, just how what type of person he was. He wasn't a great carpenter. He wasn't known. There's nothing there that would make you think anything of Jesus Christ. And when they name him there, they're just flippantly saying, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And so there's no pride there at his birth. There's no pride there of reputation of what type of person he was when it came to his work. Look at John. Go to the book of John. John chapter 1. Or where he was from. I mean, there's a lot of people take a lot of pride in where they're born. And there's people brag about how they were born, where they were born at, what hospital they were born at, or what state, what country, all that type of stuff. There's some type of, you sit there and people will brag about where they're from because that's just what we do as people. The Bible says here in John chapter 1, verse 46, Nathanael's talking about Jesus Christ, and they're trying to introduce him to him, and Nathanael says this in verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. You know what he's saying? He's saying, he's from Nazareth? He's from the wrong side of the tracks. He's from somewhere. But is there anything good ever came out of Nazareth, right? He said, what is that? No reputation. He had no reputation when he was born. He was born in a manger. No reputation on what kind of a job he had. He was just some carpenter. They didn't even know who he was. His upbringing, where he's from, there's no reputation with that. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Bible says he made himself of no reputation. When Jesus Christ showed up, he was made of no reputation. So we're talking about that humility, talking about the humility of Christ and who he was. When you think about the pomp that could have accompanied the creator of the universe if he decided to, right? If he decided to sit down and decided, this is the way I'm going to come into this world right here, right? I mean, look at all the things that we do to dress ourselves up to look good, right? we want a nice car, we want a nice home, we want to look good here, whatever it is. People spend millions of dollars on plastic surgery to try to look better. All that stuff, Jesus Christ could have called all that stuff into existence by just saying, I'm going to come in like this right here. But the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so here in John chapter 7, didn't have anything to do about education. He didn't take pride in education, about what kind of degree he had, where he went to college, what kind of school he went to, what kind of professor he was, or any of that stuff. Julia, a couple weeks ago, Julia was down there at Tennessee Tech and graduating college on the 8th, I think. And so we're sitting down there, been there before, so we're sitting there, and all the students are sitting down there who for the last 4 years have worked their guts out trying to get this degree, working side jobs, going in debt to get this degree, and done all the work, done all the homework. Professors come in, they don't even say much to them. They've got these graduate assistants, these assistants here that basically do all the teaching for these professors. And then you get to the graduation where it's an opportunity to just brag on all these students. And what do? They brag on all the professors. They all walk in these robes and these candles and all this stuff. They walk in and everybody has to stand up. And then they talk about this one's got this degree and then this one's got this degree and he had this and he went out here and he did this, he did that. Then he sits down and another one gets up and this is Dr. So-and-so and he did this and he did that. And then you sit there and all those students get about 2 seconds. Summa cum laude. Julia Butts. That's it. And I'm thinking, man, these professors starving for attention, ain't they? It wasn't like that with Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, look at verse 15. It says, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He made himself of no reputation. He came in, he wasn't about the pomp. He wasn't about, bragging on himself and look at me, look at who I am and look at what I do. He came in this earth with no reputation. Look over at Luke. Go to Luke chapter 3. Now here you're talking about the creator. The creator of the universe, who needs nothing. I mean, he needs not pure energy, right? Pure energy. He needs nothing from anyone or anybody. Over in Psalm chapter 50, God's talking over there in Psalm chapter 50, and he says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell you. I don't need you. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need anything from you. But yet when Jesus Christ came to this earth, you know what he decided to do? He decided to get to the point to where he had to be ministered by other people. Here in Luke chapter 8, look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. You know what he needed? He needed other people giving him stuff. Why? Because he made himself of no reputation. Didn't have a place to lay his head, right? Had to borrow the foal of a colt, I think that's what it says it, and had to come in on that ass and come in. He had to borrow a mule. He had to borrow a tomb. He came in, he didn't own anything. He got somebody to minister to him. Because why? He didn't have no independence of his own. He didn't come in saying, I'm my own man, I'm going to take care of myself. No reputation. No reputation. Made himself of no reputation. So not only was it birth and the upbringing and his job and scholarship and independence, he didn't think he was better than anybody else. I mean, look at the creator of the universe. He was better than everybody else. If anybody ever had the opportunity to look down their nose at somebody, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He could look down his nose and say, hey, I ain't with you. Look at you. I don't need to hang out with this type of person. That could have been the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 15, look at verse 1. Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans, Luke 15, 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, there you go, there's that crew, murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. right? You say, well, he didn't act like he's better than anybody else. He made himself of no reputation. He sat down with sinners and publicans. He sat down and said, you know what? I come here to minister to you. I come here to help you. I come here to save sinners. And he sat down. I'm not going to act like I'm better than you, although he was better. The Pharisees and the scribes, they weren't better than these guys. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people, what do? They act like they're better than other people, right? They act like they think they got something better because why? Because they got a little bit more money than somebody else, or came from a better home, or came from a better family, or better looking, or stuff like that right there. They automatically think that they're better than somebody else just by looking at them. That's what they think. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was better than everybody else, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How do you look at other people? That's what Philippians chapter 2 is saying. And he's saying it to the point of, it's not for me, right? It's not for me to look at Brother Steve and say, I mean, I see how you're acting right there, Brother Steve, and you see what you're doing right here, and you need to watch yourself right here. It wasn't wrote to me to talk to Brother Steve. It was written to Steve to think about himself. Let this mind be in you. My point is, it's written because you're supposed to look at yourself. I'm supposed to look at myself. I mean, when we sit there and we talk about people with pride and talk about how people look down on people with their noses and all that stuff, if other people's popping in your mind right now, you're missing it. Well, I know Sister So-and-so, but she looks down her nose at people all the time. Oh, so you better than Sister So-and-so? Right? So the point is, what God's doing right here in using Paul in Philippians chapter 2 is he's trying to narrow this down for you to look at yourself and say, here's your standard. It's not Brother Jack Butts. I'm not your standard. You compare yourself to me, you're going to look really good. All right? I'm just telling you, you're going to look really good. I'm not the standard. You can point at things out in my life and say, man, he's a little proud right there, and he acts like this right here, and acts like that. I don't do this. I'm not the standard. I ain't the standard. Neither the person sitting beside you is the standard. You know who the standard is? The standard is Jesus Christ. And when you get that working where it's supposed to be, that humility should automatically pop up. You start feeling pretty good about yourself. Well, I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I got this done, that done. And somebody will say something, maybe say something to you, offend you about how you live or something like that, and automatically swell up and, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. That's the way we are. So what is that? That's just humanism. That's just the flesh. That's just our nature. That's the way we are. That's the way we are. I had a guy one time told me, he said, listen, he said, you want to know whether or not you've got the attitude of a servant? And I said, yeah. How do you know? He said, I can tell you exactly how you know. I said, how? He said, the way you act when somebody treats you like a servant. I want to be a servant. And then somebody says, hey, do this. Buddy, I put my pants on one every time just like you do, buddy. You ain't nobody. Oh, so you ain't a servant. You know, look it up. See what servants did. They talk about the Bible. You know what servants did? They fed the master before they went home and ate. Well, he ain't going to eat before I am. He ain't no better than I am. I thought we was wanting to act like a servant. You know, it's hard. It's hard. You know who that is? That's Jesus Christ. He was the creator of the universe. And he made himself of no reputation. And what Paul's saying is, put that mind in you. Be just like him. Just make yourself of no reputation. Never thought anybody was better than him. Look over it. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah. The world just always gets things backwards. I mean, the world takes everything and twists it and gets it messed up. And Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I am bad to tell you a book and then not tell you the chapter. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Ain't that amazing? That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ right there in Isaiah 53. It said he wasn't made with beauty. He didn't make himself any different. Like I said, people spend thousands of dollars to make themselves look younger than what they are. to make, try to make ourselves look better than what we are. Try always, you know, want to look our best, want to do, and we should. But you got the creator of the universe that could have came down to this earth and could have looked any way he wanted to look. And it says that there was no beauty that we should desire him. You know why? He made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, right? Now look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The Bible talks about Gentiles. There are Gentiles over in Galatians chapter 2 that were of reputation, the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about Gamaliel that the Apostle Paul learned from. The Bible says he was held in reputation in Acts chapter 5, verse 34. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, was made of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. As an example for us, Matthew chapter 11, no reputation. Nobody thought anything of him. Look at verse 19. The Bible says this. Matthew 11:19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, this is what they were saying about him. A man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. So what? That's what the world was saying about him. The world was saying that he wasn't nothing. You know why? Because he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come in and he would heal people and say, hey, don't go tell nobody about it. Don't tell anybody about that right there, right? That's what he'd say. And what we want? We want to what? We want glory for what we do, right? We want credit for what we do. We want somebody to say, well, you know, I came up with that first. It's just in us, ain't it? It's just in us. We've all done it. And it's so hard. It's so hard to sit there and do things or work things or say things. And, preachers, it's hard with preachers. You know, nobody's come up with nothing new in the last 2,000 years preaching. But there's times that you feel like you have. Somebody come up and say, hey, did you hear so-and-so preach the other day? And they said this right here. But it was you that said it. Yeah, I was there. That's good, wasn't it? Yeah, I can't, man. Where did he come up with that at? I don't know where he come up with that. And everything in you will say, well, actually, that was me. And I got it right here. So what is it? That's just us, what? Trying to take credit for something that we actually did. You say, why? Because you just want credit for it. You're talking about the creator of the universe that came to this earth. And you know what he said? He said, I'm going to make myself of no reputation. He was nothing. And yet here we are, sinners, constantly going about trying to get respect, trying to get people to think something of us, trying to look good, trying to act good, trying to be good, all that stuff. And somebody says something to us or says something about our children, we're ready what? We're ready to defend them. We're ready to say, listen, look at this right here and this right here, whatever it is you're going to say. But there's something that comes up inside of us. And the Lord said, let this mind, go back to Philippians chapter 2. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, with all that said, what I want to do now is I want to talk about this stuff about what we do with our reputation, right? So our example is Jesus Christ, and it's obvious what Jesus Christ did. And the way the flesh is always going to try to get around and try to maneuver to where it's, you know, you think you got it fixed right here, it'll flank you over here, and the next thing you know, it's got you over here. And humility is like that. As I was saying earlier, humility is definitely like that. Or anything that's in the Bible is like that. That God tells you to do and you begin to get a handle on it. Then all of a sudden when you get a handle on it, then what happens? Then Satan's going to come in there and say, you're pretty good with that right there, ain't you? You're pretty good with that. I think you're better so-and-so with that. And it's the flesh will flank you, right? Same thing with humility. Humility. Look how humble I am. I'm just trying to be humble, brother. Just trying to be humble. You know, I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't going to talk about myself. I ain't going to... Well, you just did. You just talked about how humble you were, right? So what will happen is, and then when you begin to try to produce that humility in your life, right, there's things that we'll do that's against the Bible.
to get that humility. You know why? Because, I'll tell you why. Because the world will define what humility is. And we'll begin to go against what the Bible says. To what? To produce the humility that the world says is humility. Why? Because we want the world to say what? We're humble. Right? So what are we going to do? As a preacher, I'm going to get up here sometimes, and there's going to be some things that I don't want to say. Because why? Because I know the world is against it, and I know people are going to think bad of me if I say it. Well, you know how Jack is. He always runs his mouth. He got to say something bad. But it's the Bible, right? And so what do I want? I want somebody to think that I'm not that mean. I want somebody to think, you know, he's not that bad. He don't get too rough. He ain't that rough of a preacher. And so the problem with that is that what begins to happen is you begin to do what? You begin to quit preaching the truth. And there's plenty of preachers that have sold out the truth for what? For a reputation that they think is humility, because the world tells you this is what humility is. If you don't say something negative, then what that shows is you've got discernment. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. So you throw everything out, right? That's what they say. And so what they're trying to do is what? Trying to appease people. Trying to get people to feel good. Trying to make people happy. So what do? You don't call out people. You don't call out people's names. I say, Brother Jack, you think you should call out people's names? Should I call out people's names? Think about that for a second. You ain't got to call people's names out. Why you got to do that for? Jesus Christ did. And he made himself of no reputation. So not calling out a name is not going to make me humble. That's not a mark of humility. It's a mark of cowardice. That is what it is. If I as a preacher stand up here and I'm afraid to call out the Church of Christ, well, you know what I'm doing? Everybody that's ever preached ahead of me that's called names, the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ, John, Peter, John Huss, William Tyndale, the Paulicians, the Waldensians, all of them, every one of them. You know why they got burnt at the stake? It's because they called names out. They called names. I listened to a guy named Ian Paisley one time. And he's over there, and he's in the parliament over there, and the Pope visited. And the Pope walks in, and he's up on the stage. He's one of the senators, governors, whatever they're called over there. He's sitting up there, and they bring the Pope in to visit. And Ian Paisley jumps up and says, I denounce the Antichrist. I heard it on tape. And then you know what you hear after that? They're beating him up. They're taking him off the stage. And then I'm not going to say the name Church of Christ after people have been beat up for what? Calling people out for what they are? What does that make me as a preacher? It's called selling out. That's what it's called. And if I do it to keep from dealing with that conflict, what I'm going to do is say, man, you got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So what is that? It's not humility. Look at, go to Matthew chapter 23. So no doubt we see the humility of Christ, the fact that he was very humble, what he could have done if he wanted to do. And so there's no question whether or not Jesus Christ was humble or of no reputation. We know he was. But yet, in Matthew chapter 23, you know what he does? He calls out different sects of religion. Look at this, Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribe and the Pharisee sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So he's calling these Pharisees out, and he's calling them out. He said, these are the Pharisees. There's Sadducees out there. You've got these scribes right here. Look what he says down in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He's calling out religions by name. You know what a preacher's job is to do? Is to call out religions by name. I'm not going to be vague about the Catholic Church. I'm not going to be vague about the Mormon Church. I'm not going to be vague about the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not going to be vague about the Church of Christ or the Church of God or the Pentecostal or the handling of snakes or all that stuff. I'm not going to be vague about it. Why? Because I'm called to preach the truth. I'm called to preach the truth of God, and lay it out.
And the problem they had with Jesus Christ is because he preached the truth and he called it out, and that's what got him crucified. They said he preached with authority. Look at also down there in verse 13. Look what he calls them. He calls them hypocrites. And people get offended at preachers because of how they preach and what they say, and they're too hard and this type of stuff. Jesus Christ called people names. There he's calling those scribes and Pharisees, calling them hypocrites. Call them hypocrites. Can you imagine a preacher getting up today and calling people a hypocrite? What if I got up today and said, all these Calvinists are hypocrites? You know what we're supposed to try to say is this right here. There's a lot of good people that's Calvinist. A lot of good people that's Calvinist. You know what we do? That's what we say. Say why? Because that pressure. That pressure. You know what they are? They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites and they're liars. They're hypocrites and liars. Hey, man, Brother Jack, that's what they are. You know what they say? They say God saves you before you even ask. The reason you come to the altar is because he regenerates you in that pew, and you go up there and you couldn't stop if you wanted to. You say, what is it? That's a Calvinist. What is it? That's a lie straight out of hell. Arthur W. Pink said that a child that's 4 years old that dies before the age of accountability, if he's not one of the elect, he dies and goes to hell. That's what a Calvinist believes. My job is to proclaim the truth. That's a lie. That's a heresy. Catholic Church are liars. They're hypocrites. I don't believe Mary was sinless. You believe Mary was sinless? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a dogma with the Catholic Church that Mary was sinless. She was abstained from original sin when she had the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what they say. Where's that at in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. They say she's a perpetual virgin. Never. We just read over there a while ago where Jesus had brothers and sisters. So what is that? They're liars. They're hypocrites. Jehovah's Witnesses are liars. They're hypocrites. You know why? They say Jesus Christ wasn't God. Say Jesus Christ wasn't God. Look at their religion. Look what they say. Well, you just need to be nice. You need to accept everybody. No, I don't. Jesus Christ didn't accept everybody. He called out the sex. He called out. Look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And I understand that in this church, things get hard and they get hot sometimes and people call things out. But the reason that we do is because we're called to preach the truth of God. And that's why you're going to get something different. That's why we're going to lay this stuff out. We're going to show you what's right. We're going to show you what's wrong according to the Scripture. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Look at verse 31. The Bible says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, talking about Jesus, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Now, we're going to talk about pride right here. Just think about pride. If somebody came up and said, not now, somebody said they're going to whip me, I'd say, yeah, I don't doubt it at all. But there was a time when I'd say, oh, yeah, I'll beat the brakes off that guy. You tell him to show up. And I might be scared, but there'd be something in me say, well, I ain't going to let somebody talk to me like that. You say, what is it? Sounds like pride and it sounds like arrogance, right? Which it is. It is in that case. But look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says right here. They said, Herod's going to kill you. Verse 32, and he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. He called him a name. He called him a fox. He said, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. He said, Herod can't do nothing to me. He can't do nothing to me. I ain't worried about what you tell me about what so-and-so said. That's not... With Jesus Christ, it wasn't humility. He's calling people names. He's calling them out for who they were, for what they were. Now, I'm not saying that you use pride for that, but at the same time, you got to call people out for what they are, especially if they're doing wrong. Matthew chapter 21, the Bible says Jesus Christ went in and flipped over the tables of the money changers. Why? Because he was worried about what they were making the house of God look like, right? Righteous indignation. He was frustrated. He walked in. What would we do if we walked in and seen Brother Dilbert up here? He walked in and there's a missionary back there and he flipped them tables over. What are you doing in here? Flip these tables. Man, what has happened to Brother Dilbert? Well, maybe there was some false doctrine on that table. Yeah, but that's the only how you need to handle it. Really? You need a little humble. Oh, the Lord wasn't humble? You see, what I'm trying to tell you is this right here. Number one, you go to a church where people are going to talk about us, all right? We're a cult, all this stuff. I get it. I understand it. We call out names. We do all this stuff. And you're going to have to defend that a lot of times. And here's what you need to realize, is you need to say this, is we're not for sale. You know, the Bible says for us to search the Scriptures and see if those things are so. And when those preachers get up there and they preach the truth, if it's wrong, I agree with them. And if it's right, I agree with them. That's what we're going to do. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I've heard it. I've listened to it. I've heard we don't believe in crosses. We don't believe in birth control. We don't believe in different Bibles and all this stuff. And they give you all this stuff. You got to listen to it all the time. And you know how Trinity is and all that stuff. I mean, that you hear it. But you know what? The reason they do that is because we stand by the truth and we believe what that book says. We believe it. We believe it. And we're always going to stand for the truth. Look at Mark chapter 8. The point that I'm making is this. Bowing down and being a coward is not humility. That is what I'm trying to get to. The Lord Jesus Christ, don't expect preachers to bow down to this world is what I'm trying to get to. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Look what he says here. He's naming heresies, and he's naming people by name. Verse 15, Mark 8:15 says, "And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." I'm just going to tell you, as a preacher, I'm never going to quit naming names. I'm never going to quit, and I hate it if people get mad. I hate it if people get offended, but you have to know, you need to know, it is my job to tell you what is wrong out there. My job to look at these religions and study these religions out and get up there and show you it's not because I don't like anybody. It's not because I want somebody to think bad of me. What I feel like doing, honestly, is trying to be nice and not say that. That's what I get the pressure to do. The pressure is to just, why can't you just get along, Jack? Why do you always have to be the one that says, yeah, but? Why is that? Because I got a call on my life. And what I want you to understand is this, is that as a preacher, it is not humility and it is not being humble not to name names. Jesus Christ said the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. If I got up here and said, well, now there's some kind of churches that believe, you know, that this right here and this right here, and you try to beat around the bushes and try to be vague and get around it, you're not even going to know what they're talking about. But when somebody gets up there and preaches with authority and says the Church of Christ is wrong about water baptism, the Catholic Church is wrong about the sacraments, I do not believe that Mary was assumed into heaven like Jesus Christ was. I do not believe that. I do not believe mortal sin takes away grace that you got when you got. I don't even believe you got grace by being sprinkled as a baby. I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe the dogmas of the Catholic Church. I'm against the dogmas of the Catholic Church. And I'm not going to water it down. And I'm going to name it. I'm going to say it. The Church of Christ. You're going to talk about the Catholics. You're talking about the Pentecost. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about what they preach and what they teach as a religion. They literally burnt people at the stake. Babies, kids that we see crawl running around here, these grandkids that we'd take a bullet for if somebody came in here. The Catholic Church had them sewn up in bags and thrown in a river. And they said, we're doing it in the justice of God. History. That's right. That's history. Is it humble for me not to say that stuff? No, sir. I thank God that I got a pastor that's going to stand up. Thank God that God gave me the courage to stand up. Thank God for people like Gary Boyd that I cut my teeth under and watch him stand up and would say the truth no matter how many pulpits it cost him, no matter how many comments it's going to cost. I don't care what your comments are on this. I don't care. Write it. I don't care. You're not hurting me. Nobody's listening to you anyway. They ain't reading them comments. Say it. Run your mouth. Mark chapter 9. We're right there, right? Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Just by offending what? One of these little ones? What about all these people that teach evolution to these kids in school? Their day's coming. Their day's coming. He said it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck, teaching that stuff to these kids and messing these kids up that believe in God, getting their mind messed up and teaching evolution. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into where? Hell. Hell. Jesus Christ said the word hell. Into the fire. Into the fire, Kirk Cameron, that never shall be quenched. Kirk Cameron's wrong. Hell ain't quick and over. It ain't like that right there. You're going to burn forever is what Jesus Christ said. Where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life. Enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. He just said it again. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Twice he said, it's forever. And the trifecta, verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know what Jesus Christ believed in? He believed in hell and he preached hell and he said you're going to go there and you're going to burn forever. That's what he said. And if a preacher won't preach that right there, they're a coward. Preach it. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Look at the Apostle Paul. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. All I'm trying to tell you is don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Be thankful. Be thankful for some men, some overseers that's going to show you the truth and going to show you what's going on. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 14. By inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Paul's writing to Timothy. And he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord rewarded him according to his works. He said, you need to watch out for that guy right there. You know what he did? He named him. He called him by name. He named that guy. He said, watch. 4 verses before that, he talked about a backslider named Demas. Called him out. Named him. Timothy, don't get around that guy right there. He's a backslider. You know what? A lot of times you get a lot of younger preachers and they'll come up to me and they'll say, hey, I was listening to so-and-so. What do you think about so-and-so? You know what the pressure to do is say? Say, well, now he's got a lot of good in him and you try to talk around him and all that stuff. You say, why? Because of this dadgone flesh. And I hate myself. You know what I ought to say? John MacArthur's a Calvinist. Not anymore, he's not. He just died. Now he's a Bible believer. He got to go up there and tell, look and face the Lord and say, oh, you didn't just die for some people? John MacArthur was a Calvinist. There are people that don't believe this book and we ought to call them out. They don't believe the book. You say, why? Because that's our job as Christians. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ said, you know what Christ did? He called them out. You know what John Huss did? He called them out. He got burnt the stake for it. William Tyndale got burnt the stake for it. Men and women taught their kids the Lord's Prayer in English. And the priest would come in and find out they did it in English. You know what they'd do? They'd take those parents and they'd kill them in front of those kids. You think that's good? No, that's the Catholic history right there. Catholic history. You know what's going on right now? There's a reviving of the Catholic Church. Back in 2001 when the Twin Towers fell, I was in Bible school down there and Dr. Ruckman said, everybody's going to start talking about the Antichrist coming from Muslims. That's what he said. He said, everybody's going to start doing that. And he said, you know what? They're wrong. It's coming from the Catholic Church. He said, and there will be a time later on where the Catholic Church, people are going to start coming back to it. Look it up. So many people coming back to the Catholic Church. Candace Owens, Catholic. Tucker Carlson, he's a Catholic. You going to name him, Jack? Yeah, I'm going to name him. I'm going to name him. Tucker Carlson's a Catholic. He's wrong. He's against Israel. He's wrong. Candace Owens against Israel. She's wrong. J.D. Vance, our vice president, he turned into Catholicism. He's wrong. Everybody on Fox News, they all got them ashes on their head. You tune in, you see it. Look how many of them now is Catholic. They didn't used to do that. Why all of a sudden is it everybody's doing that? You know why? Because it's coming back together. We're in the last days. The Antichrist is going to come from the Catholic Church. Read Revelation. Read the book of Revelation. That's where it's coming from. Our job is to do what? Is to preach it. Preach it. Tell the truth. Point them out. Call them by names. Call them by names. Paul talked about the backslider. He talked about historical figures. I'm talking about historical figures right now. Apostle Paul talked about Johnnies and Jombries that withstood Moses. He went all the way back there and talked about historical figures. He called out the brethren. He called out Peter and Barnabas in Galatians chapter 2 because they were to be blamed. He said, did Paul just decide, I need to be more humble, so I'm not going to call people names? not calling people names, not calling out religious sects, not standing up for the Word of God is not humility. It's called being a coward. It's called being a coward. And as a preacher, our job as a preacher, your job as a believer is to defend the Word of God. And if it's going to make people mad, it's going to make people mad. If it's going to offend them, it's going to offend them. People say stuff on comments online. They're going to say things on comments on. I just don't think you got to be that hard. I just don't think you got to say their names. I just don't think. I don't care what you think. Too many examples in the Bible where it was done. I'm not trying to come at you arrogant this morning or cocky this morning. All I'm saying is don't use Philippians chapter 2 as a way to say, I'm not going to say nothing about anybody else. I'm not going to preach the truth. And try to call it humility when that's not what it is. That's where I'm trying to get to this morning. And it's going to be hard. And this word right here, it's a two-edged sword. It cuts me just like it cuts anybody else. When there's a preacher up there and they're preaching and they're talking about things, Jordan Jeffers preaching the other night, I was getting cut. Eddie Wilk the other night, I was getting cut. Just sitting there listening to that preaching, you know what's going on? I'm getting cut. I'm sitting here thinking about this stuff. Think about how much time I spend on this stupid phone. I got to stand up here and preach on this stupid phone. Preach about it. How much time we spend on a phone. And then you know what I do? I end up spending too much time on a stupid phone. So what do? I go to the altar. Go to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Just, I don't know why. It's just a habit. I just want to throw it across the yard sometimes. You say, why? Because I get cut just like you do. I thank God for a preacher like Eddie White that'll get up there and he'll talk about TikTok. He'll talk about social media. Brother Dilbert will get up here and he'll tell you what's right and he'll tell you what's wrong. I thank God for somebody that'll tell me I'm doing wrong. And all I'm saying this morning is that when a preacher or somebody will sit down and they won't tell you the truth, it ain't got anything to do with humility. Ain't got anything to do with humility. It's got to do with just being a coward. It's hard to stand up and it's hard to know people are going to say something about you. Right? That's the way it works. All right. Let's take a break.